Okay, I'll try to post it on Canva so you can review it. All right, so we are talking about limits. So, for example, limit if x goes to 0 from the left of the same function is minus infinity. And there is a multitude of examples we are familiar with. But let's consider a case which is sort of weird. What is the limit if x goes to 0, something like 1 plus x to power 1 over x? So this is intuitively not clear because there are two things. So, for example, limit if x goes to 0, 1 plus x, that's easy. This is 1 plus 0, so it's 1. So this quantity, 1 plus x, goes to 1. Yeah. On the other hand, if you have a question, just shout because I cannot look at the chat all the time. On the other hand, limit if x goes to 0, some number a to power 1 over x, let's say from the right. What is this? This is the limit if 1 over x goes to infinity. So let's say x goes to infinity plus a to x. So it depends if a is bigger than 1. You have something like a times a times a times a. So these numbers get bigger. So this seems to be infinity. On the other hand, 1 times 1 times 1 is all the times 1. So it's not clear how to think about this. Because it's if x goes to 0, 1 plus x goes to 1. So it looks like we should get 1 times 1 times 1 times 1, which is 1. On the other hand, this 1 over x goes to infinity. So we get something like this, which seems to go to infinity. So it's not clear what it is. At this stage, our natural inclination would be to do some numerical experiments. So let's do this numerical experiment. We will go to a place called Wolfram Alpha. Which is a free website. They create program which is available to everybody for free, and it's of top quality. And they don't pay me any money. So let's go there. I'll stop this. I'll come back to this writing later. Share things. I think it will get us into the correct place. Yeah, so this is the place called Wolfram Alpha. Let me shrink this picture. Okay. So here we can do numerical experiments, right? So we can take a number like 1 plus 1 to power 1, and you get 1. You can take a number 1 plus 1/2, because this was the function 1 plus x, where x was going to 0, to power 2, which is the reciprocal of 1/2, and we get 9/4. Let's say that we go 5 here, and on top we're going to have 5. So we get this number. And by now we're wondering what's going to happen. Is there a pattern? So this procedure of substituting for x fraction and here 1 over that fraction can be done very fast by a computer, and the result is visible on a graph. So we can plot, call it x to power 1 over x, and we can say that x is well bigger than 0, so let's be safe first. So 0 is not 0, 0.2, smaller than x, smaller than 1. And let's see what this computer does. Okay, so it's easy. From x, oh sorry, I messed up here. 0.2. It's not comma 2, it's 0.2. I mean, this program has patience. You can make mistakes and correct them. So here is the graph. Here's the graph, which stops at 0.2. We are interested in going to some limit to 0, right? 0 is not on this graph. Okay, but it seems that we got this number here.
Everything goes right now in class on Zoom because the school campus is not.
Wait a second, I cannot really hear you. Say it again.
Hey, my apologies, Professor.
Gosh, there's some echo, which maybe you could write it in the chat. I will look at I see the chat if you can, or maybe say it again. So this is the question about that function or something else? Okay, whatever. Yeah, there is plus and minus to this technology. So what happens if I get to 0.1, closer to zero? What happens with this graph? Well, it looks similar, and this number is now 2. Well, it's almost 3. It's almost 3. If you take 0.1 like that, what happens to this number? Oh, it's almost like 2.7. So this expression, if x gets to 0, it does not blow up. It does not go to infinity, it goes to some specific number, but what number is it? So what would be the limit if x goes to zero? So of course we can ask this computer because it's polite. It can actually tell you something like that. So the graph from x, because it gets to some number here, and what would be that number? So first of all, why does it go to some number? How do you know by just looking at this formula that limit of that function exists? How do you know that this limit exists? That's one question. So why, let me write it here. Why does this limit, if x goes to zero, exist? Okay, that's one question we can keep in mind for a few minutes. Take something different. Let's say that we multiply this x by 2 and leave the rest the same. And what happens if x goes to 0? Let's see on the graph. So the computer does substitution for x numbers like 0, 4, 1, 0, 4, 2, and so on up to 1. This picture here is just bunch of discrete points joined together to look nice. It got lifted, but still the limit exists. If you make it smaller, 0, 1, then well, picture seems the same, and we get some limit, right? Oh, sorry. Okay. If you look instead of that, sorry. If we look at the function we actually understand because we had it in class, so sine of x divided by x, we know that limit of that. So we know that limit if x goes to 0 of that function over x is actually 1. I proved it to you, okay? But before we proved it, so whatever the graph is, whatever the graph is, it should near 0 be reasonable. So let's see how does it look. Yep, it looks like that. If you, I mean, it should resemble some sign. So if we plug in here 0, it's going to be bigger. Yeah, it's going to have some bumps. So that's the function. And you go with x to 0, you will approach number 1. And we know from the lecture a couple of days ago that actually this is the case. So in fact, we can go all the way to 0, and we get all the way here. But the question is, what are we talking about? So we are doing experiments with something that about limit. And did we ever define limit? What does it mean that a function approaches something? So if you want to prove that something is a limit, you just have to make thousands of these numerical experiments and bet that your guess is going to be correct. Instead, a moment. What? 9 people are waiting? What is this? Admit all. Yeah, the Zoom is a little bit annoying. Okay. So instead of that, we can go back to the iPad. Oh, yeah, what? Screen, I think. No, anyway. Something is funny here. Okay. And I want. Sorry. Let's see. That's okay. Desktop should be that. Okay. Advanced. Yep. So here we go back to the iPad. Think. Moment, how do I get back to the iPad? Just a second. No, this is annoying. Okay, stop sharing. All right. Oh, sorry, that's right, because iPad is there. Okay. So we go again to the iPad. Yes, here it is. Yes. So the question actually is the limit. So what does it mean? That the limit, if x goes to x naught of a function, is a number. Well, at some point, like I don't know, 300 or 250 years ago, more or less, some founding fathers of modern mathematics agreed that they will define this notion. They will define this notion in such a way that there is no doubt what limit is. So they formulated the following definition. This thing happens this thing happens if and only if for any positive number epsilon there is a number delta, positive number delta, such that if the distance between x and x naught is smaller than delta, then the distance between the function and the number L is smaller than epsilon. So this is legal definition of a limit agreed upon creation time of modern mathematics. And if you break this law, you go to jail. So they agreed on this definition to get out of any confusion here. So what does it require? This requires you to guess. It doesn't tell you how to compute the limit. It just tells you how to check your guess. How to check your guess that the number L is the limit of that function. If x goes to x naught. And guessing is a procedure. You are supposed to perform some hocus pocus, and if it pops out correctly, your guess is correct. Otherwise, it's not. So it doesn't give you a method to compute the limit. To compute the limit, it allows only to check that your guess What L is correct. And that's what people are bothered by, because you, especially if you're an engineer, you want to do something, right? You want to know how much it is. No, it doesn't give you this method. This the whole industry of computing limits is an industry, but it has to be based on something. And that something is the definition. So what are we looking for? Okay, so let's look at some examples. So let's look at some examples to see how it works. So for example, we know that, so what would be the gas limit if X goes to zero? 2 times X, everybody would agree, is zero, because you can make these experiments by hand or by Wolfram Alpha, but whatever. And it's obviously, I mean, it is. Yeah. But you get summoned to the court. And somebody claims, no, that is not the case. So you have to prove. You have to prove that this actually is the case. So what do you do? The opponent gives you epsilon. And you're supposed to find delta. Find delta such that. If the distance between x and zero is smaller than delta, then the distance between the function and the value is smaller than epsilon. If you produce this delta, then he goes to jail, okay? And you case, you won your case. Okay. So how would we produce this delta? Sorry, delta was missing. Okay. How would we produce this delta? No, we hire a private investigator and we do it. So what I'm supposed to know, if X is smaller than delta, then 2X should be smaller than epsilon. So this epsilon here is given. Let me see. This is given. And this delta is what we are looking for. All right. So what do you think? I mean, how small should be x, should x be so that twice x is smaller than epsilon? Remember that epsilon is given. So I can use epsilon to define my delta. So let's take a look at this requirement. This requirement means that x is smaller than epsilon over 2. So this these two are equivalent. So I want to have the implication that if X is smaller than delta, then X is smaller than epsilon over 2. So I think we'll win the case if we choose delta to be half of the epsilon. Because then this happens, which is the same as that, and this is what was required. So yes, so this shows that zero is indeed equal to the limit. If x then goes to 0 of the function, and 2x. Okay, so we won the case. We go back home and collect the profit. Okay. How about? Okay, if you have any questions, it's you can talk. I mean, this is an easy day. We have time. You can ask questions. By the way, everything is in the book. I think it's chapter, I mean, section 1.7 or 1.6, 1.7, I guess. Okay. If not, then let's take a look at another example. The claim is that the limit, if x goes to 0, of x over absolute value of x is what is the claim? Let's say somebody claims that this is zero. So is that true? Is this true? Before we define the limit, this question would be empty, right? Because we didn't define the limit, but we have our definition of the limit. So according to the definition, is this zero really the limit? Well, let's see. If yes, then given epsilon positive, there is a delta. Delta positive such that if x minus zero, so x itself, let's write minus zero. If this is smaller than delta, then the function x over absolute value of x, this looks a little funny, minus the L we are claiming, should be smaller than epsilon. Okay. So if yes, then the situation happens, right? Yeah, so if I stole the car, then I have dirty hands, right? Is it true? Well, I can show them my hands are clean, so I didn't steal the car. Let's try to do that. So the defense says that this didn't happen. This doesn't happen. And you can give example that doesn't happen. For example, take epsilon, take epsilon equal to 1/2, and okay, take epsilon to 1/2. So if delta is arbitrary, we should have the implication that if x is smaller than delta, then absolute value of x over x minus 0 is smaller than epsilon. Sorry, is smaller than 1/2. But look at it. This fraction here is computable. How much is that? This is the same as absolute value of x over absolute value of x, which is 1. So this inequality means that 1 is smaller than 1/2. And if this is the case, then we are all dead. I mean, this is not true. So if this is not true, then our assumption was messed up, which means that this implication, sorry, that this implication does not hold. So the answer is no. 0 is not the limit of that function. Case closed. Well, I mean, this is not a big mystery because you can see the picture. You can see, you can draw this function with hand without Wolfram alpha. So let's say this is 1, this is minus 1, this is 0. So this is a function which is 1 to the right here, minus 1 to the left. And if your x approaches 0, then you could go either here or you could go here. So there is no limit. So I chose the example in obvious, easy to handle way. So there are cases where limit is not what the client was claiming. Anyway, after we have definition of limit, then you go to our founding fathers, they've been quite smart, and then they use this definition to prove some rules about the limits. So there are theorems. What happens, for example, if you have two functions? So if x goes to x naught of one function is f, and the limit if x goes to x naught of another function is some number g, then the obvious thing happens. The limit if x goes to x naught of the sum of these two functions is f plus g. So it's easy to believe, but somebody really has proven it. I mean, this guy is based on the definition, proven this formula. The same happens if you take the product. Then you get product of limits. And now the temptation is to write the quotient. F of x divided by g of x. That the result is f divided by g. And this is true if g is not 0. So this requires working with this definition a little harder, and you get this rule that the quotient limit of quotient is quotient of limits. So there are, now you get profits in the sense that you can use it to actually compute limits, right? So we know that limit if x goes to 0 of x is 0. So now if you apply this, for example, product, then you will know that x times x, which is x squared, also has limit 0, 0 times 0, which is 0. And in fact, to any power, x to power n is 0, and we have product, so this n should be 1, 2, 3, whatever. So we know stuff like that. Okay. And let's say that we want to know what is the limit. I keep this zero because for convenience, but let's say we want something like x squared plus x plus 1 divided by 2x squared minus 1. So what would be limit of that? Using the rules, using this theorem, we just verified. I mean, sorry, I advertised, but this is not an empty advertisement. This was proven by smart people years ago. And we can look at this proof if you want to, but doesn't really make sense. So how to compute that limit? Here you have to be clever with these numbers. So what do you do? You look at x squared plus x plus 1 and divided by 2x squared minus 1. And you keep wondering, right? You could plug in the x's. This part here would go to infinity. This will go to infinity, maybe twice faster. So this goes to something, but there is this x which also goes to infinity. So maybe the whole thing will go to infinity. Well, anyway, what we do, divide top and the bottom by x squared. So x squared plus x plus 1 divided by x squared. And to make sure that we have this equality, we have to do the same procedure to the function at the bottom. 2x squared minus 1 divided by x squared. So this division gives you 1 plus 1 over x, so x to the power minus 1, plus, sorry, yeah, x to the power minus 1, plus x to the power minus 2 on top. At the bottom, there is 2 minus x to the power minus 2. So what happens now with if x goes to 0? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I fell asleep. No. I mean, this was okay. Let's make it infinity. If x goes to 0, then all this procedure is unnecessary. Because the result is 0 plus 0 plus 1 over 2 times 0 minus 1, so this is minus 1. So all this is unnecessary. But if you look at a different example, so if the example is now to compute the limit. If x goes to 0, x to the power negative 2 plus x inverse plus 1 over 2x to the power negative 2 minus 1, then there is a problem. The problem is that we have here 1 over 0, 1 over 0, and so on. We need to do a procedure. I was trying to sketch. You write down this fraction. Write this fraction. Let's see. As x to negative 2 plus x inverse plus 1 times x squared divided by 2x to the power negative 2 minus 1 times x squared. And the equation still holds because we multiplied it by the same number. But the benefit is that the result is 1 plus x squared over 2 minus x squared. So this fraction is the same as that fraction. So we are talking about limit. If x goes to 0, 1 plus x squared over 2 minus x squared. And now it's legal to substitute 0 for x, and the result is 1 half. So what I'm trying to say is that definition of the limit was created to clarify what that notion is. And that is necessary to prove statements about that limit. Where is that? Here, like this theorem here. So this is a statement about the notion of limit. And if you don't know what is the notion of limit, then you have no way to prove anything about it. So the fact that limit of sum is sum of limit, product, and so on, does require that definition. Also, in specific cases like the one I started with, where is that? Yeah, like for example, this thing. Yeah, this thing is a monster. This thing is, one can prove that this limit exists using the definition, and then one can actually prove that this is so-called number E, what every engineer knows. And the creation of this number requires a correct definition of the limit, otherwise you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm trying to sell this legal definition of a limit. We're not going to chew on it for too long, but it is needed to do any progress in, following the other chapters in the book. Any questions? Oh, sorry. I mean, two people entered, but it is actually too late. So anyway, I will see you on Wednesday. I mean, on Friday. On Friday, also your TAs get your exam. Yes, these notes are, it is all saved, so I'm going to post on Canvas. Let's see. And yes, stop recording. Oh, stop recording. Stop recording.